Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for the life that it brings. Father, I pray that you would just speak life into us this morning. Lord, may your anointing rest on me as I preach your word this morning. That the word that's spoken, God, will go out and accomplish what you have ordained for it to accomplish. Lord, that it would touch people's hearts. That it would bring us closer to you. Father, that it would bring us into a greater depth of understanding. It would bring a greater relationship with us, with you, Lord. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was thinking about what the message would be. I always pray about it. Don't ever worry about if I've prayed about it or not, all right? That goes without saying. But when you're considering what to preach and waiting for the Lord, and all the word that came was destiny. Destiny. What is destiny? What is it? You know, you hear that word an awful lot. Let me give you a quick definition. The things that you will do, or the type of person you will become in the future. It's what you're destined to be. It's what you're destined to be, what you're destined to do. There's one of my favorite movies is Back to the Future. Back to the Future 1 is good. Back to the Future 2, Back to the Future 3, yeah, that one's a good one. So 2 out of 3 ain't bad. But in the first one, there's a little interaction with a couple of the characters. If you remember, when Marty goes back in time and he's met his dad, and his dad, he's like, "It's a wonder I was ever born." So he's coaching his dad up. "You need to say this." And he's standing outside the cafe, the malt shop, and he's telling him what to tell the girl, Lorraine, George and Lorraine. So Marty's telling George to say this. And this was the interaction. This is what he told him. And he goes in and he stands there and he's got his little notebook open. You remember that? And he's standing there and he's reading it and he says, "Lorraine, my density has brought me to you." "What?" "Oh, what I meant to say was, wait a minute, don't I know you from somewhere?" "Yes, yes, I'm George, George McFly. I'm your density. I mean, your destiny." It was her destiny. She was destined to marry him, however awkward that may be. However awkward he may be, that was the destiny. You don't only have a physical destiny. You have a divine destiny. Divine destiny is about being moment by moment aligned with the perfected and preordained will of God. Being in line with the ordained will and perfect will of God. How many of you really think that you're in God's perfect will? I hope we would all want to be and think that we're in God's perfect will. Because you have a destiny. And God has ordained your destiny. Just like Joseph. We all remember Joseph. Joseph in his coat of many colors. He was daddy's favorite. Why was he daddy's favorite? Because he came from daddy's favorite wife. He came from the wife that Isaac had worked how many years for? 14 years. His true love, his destiny, was destined. And Joseph came out of that union. And so he was daddy's favorite. So daddy gave him a special coat. Back then, coats that were of many colors, different, they were expensive. Because it took a lot. Back then, it wasn't easy to dye the thread. It wasn't easy. It took a lot of work. And so when you gave somebody something that was multicolored, that was saying a lot. We find this illustration in Genesis chapter 37 and then chapters 39 to 45. Read it. But he was loved by his father more than the others. Do you know that you're loved by your father? You're loved by your father. That's your destiny, is to be loved. And if you're here today and you don't feel loved, you're loved. I'm here to tell you, you're loved. See, in Romans 5:8, says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. He loves you. Scripture talks about us and questions us, saying that, yeah, we might die and we might give up our life for somebody who's good, but for somebody who's a thief, somebody who's a murderer, somebody who's an adulterer, somebody, we wouldn't give our lives for them. But Christ gave his life for us because we are all of those things and more. Joseph was sold by his brothers. How many of you ever feel sold by your brothers? You were sold out. But he never quit. He had a vision. And he didn't quit because of his destiny. He worked at Potiphar's house until Potiphar's wife. You got to watch out for ladies. I need to re-say that for women like that, because she was obviously no lady. Can you imagine? Guys, imagine your boss's wife is after you and she wants you. She wants you so bad that she multiple times approaches you. And then when you spurn her affection and you spurn her advances, she grabs your coat, and you, the only way to get out of it is you end up running out naked or next to it. Why? Because he knew what his destiny was. That wasn't the end of the story there. See, and then after that, he's sent to prison. And most people, that's the end of your story. You end up in prison, you're done. That's it. But God had a purpose for him, just like he has a purpose for you. And he rose to the top in prison. If you don't think that the blessing of God was not on Joseph, you're not reading the same Bible I am. Was it a place that everybody wants to be? You want to be in prison? You want to be a slave, be a servant in somebody's house? You want to be sold into slavery? No, that's not where you want to be. But in the scripture, you never hear Joseph complaining about where he's at. Because he knew who he was, and he knew his destiny. He knew what he was supposed to be doing. And he didn't falter. He didn't lose hope. So he interprets a couple of dreams for a baker and the cupbearer. Can you imagine? They have the dreams and he says, well, I got good news for you and I got bad news for you. Bad news is you're going to die. Good news is you're going back to your old job. And all Joseph did was he say, hey, when you get back there, remember me. And so then he ends up in the cupbearer ends up back in Pharaoh's house. The cupbearer was a very important person. Because I don't know if you realize this, but when you are royalty, when you're in kings and pharaohs and like that, people want your job. And people are going to do anything they can to get your job, including poisoning your food, poisoning your drink. And the cupbearer's job was to taste test. That's not a job I would want. Especially if the king or the pharaoh you were serving was not liked well by others. He didn't get along well. He didn't play well. You know, then it was every time, every meal you were, could be my last. Then the pharaoh has a dream, and then the cupbearer remembers, oh yeah, there's this dude in prison. And he can interpret dreams. So Pharaoh calls and has him brought in. And then Pharaoh, and he interprets Pharaoh's dream. And then the end of the story is that he's raised and he's put second in command of all of Egypt. It says in Genesis 45, 4 through 5, then Joseph's, oh, sorry, too soon. He's second in command. Why? He went through all of that. He had to go through those things to get to where he was. Not only was God had a destiny for him, but God was trying him. God was testing him. If you don't call that being in a fire, I need to know your definition of fire. Because that's going through it. That's being refined. And Joseph was being refined. He had multiple opportunities to let anger and bitterness creep in, take a hold of his life, and it would have destroyed his divine destiny. It's the same for us. When we let bitterness and anger and unforgiveness creep in, we're destroying our divine destinies. We're letting the enemy derail us. You get mad at somebody and you hold anger. I've heard it said, and you've probably heard it said too, it's like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. You drink the poison, you die. But in Genesis 45, 4 through 5, then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I'm your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. There was a purpose in Joseph going through all of those things. There's no way that Joseph could have got into the house of Pharaoh being a Jew. He's not gonna just invite him in. Oh, Joseph, you look so good. You dress so well. Come on in. I want you to be second in command of the kingdom. It doesn't work. God had to take him through those steps to get him where he wanted to be. And God is taking each of you through steps to get you to where he wants you to be. It's not comfortable sometimes. Matter of fact, it's very uncomfortable sometimes. But that's why the scripture says, in everything give thanks. Why? Because God is working a greater good in you to perform greater deeds through you. You have a destiny. There's a reason that you're here. You have a destiny and a purpose. How many of you agree with me? And if you don't, you're wrong. You have a destiny and a purpose. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork. You're God's handiwork. Not your mama, not your dad. You are God's handiwork. Created in Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus. Because when you became born again, you were created a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're not the same person, but you have been created in Christ Jesus as a born-again believer, as a son and daughter of the Most High God. You were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And God prepared those good works for you to do in advance. In advance of what? In advance of you becoming a believer. In advance of you being even born. He has it all worked out already. He's got a plan. He's got a job for you to do. You may have an ultimate destiny of being an evangelist, teacher, pastor, prophet, apostle. How many of you know what's that called? Fivefold ministry. You may have an ultimate destiny of being that, but you must serve God in the here and now. You don't automatically go from being born again to being those things. There's a progression, just like Joseph going through the progression to get to his place. You have a progression that you have to go to, a refining that you have to go through. Don't stop. Don't stop along the way. Don't stop and say, oh, this is too tough. I'm going to go and do something else. Because let me tell you this. When you stop along the way and you go someplace that God has not ordained that you go, you're the most miserable person in the world and everybody around you knows it. I remember I had a job. I worked at the San Joaquin Valley Dairymen's Association in Los Banos. And I worked in the butter department. I've seen more butter in 2 years than every single person in this room combined will ever see in their lifetime. Oh, I guarantee it. I've seen a lot of butter. The days that we weren't running, you know the little quarters that you get in 1 pound thing, quarters? We had a machine that did that. We had a machine that ran half pounds in those quarters. We had a machine that ran 1 pound solids in those quarters. And then we had a bulk machine that we filled 68 pound boxes full of butter. One Monday morning, we did over 1,000 cubes of 68 pound boxes of butter. One day. And we wondered, why did we do that? Now they're going to expect it. And I forgot where I was going with that. Huh? Oh, I remember now. And so most of the time, if the machines weren't running, we were doing bulk butter. And bulk butter, they take it, and if you happen to be on food programs or these other programs, they take that and they divide it up, and you know that's what. So, and we had three stations. One was you folded the box, taped it, put the liner in it, and you filled the box. Then you sent it down the conveyor, and it came around to the weighing. And then if you were standing there, you had the weighing station, you weighed it, 68 pounds, and you would either take some off or you'd add some to it to make it. Most of the time, I don't remember ever adding anything to it. It was always taking it off. And then you would seal it up and send it down. And then the third place, there was a guy at the end, and he was stacking them on the pallets. And in the front of the station where we weighed the butter, there was the clock. And I remember on several occasions thinking, Lord, there's got to be more to this. Got to be more to life for me than this. And I know there was, because I wasn't fulfilling God's perfect plan for my life. I wasn't supposed to be there. I was supposed to be here, doing what I'm doing now. But I just hadn't got there yet. That was my Joseph. Those were my Joseph moments. Potiphar's house, my Joseph, my Potiphar's house was the San Joaquin Valley Dairymen Association. Hey, I made good money. I made over $14 an hour in 1992. It was good money back then. But there's more to it, and there's more to your life. If you're not fulfilling God's perfect plan for your life, you have those ideas and those thoughts yourself. You say, God, there's got to be more to life than this. You're not fulfilled. But when you get to the place where God has called you, the perfect place of his perfect will, his ordained place for you to be, for you to, that he's ordained before you became a Christian, you are the more fulfilled than you've ever been before in your entire life. Because that's your job, that's your position, that's where you're supposed to be. So don't give up along the way. Don't have a butter moment. See, God doesn't want us focused on what we're going to do someday. Rather, he wants us focused on what he's called us to do right now in this moment. See, if we are constantly looking, okay, I'm supposed to do this, I'm supposed to do this. Well, how do you get from to there, from here? What is the progression? What do you need to be doing? What are the steps you need to be taking? Because you could stand there and say, well, man, I'm supposed to be a preacher and doing nothing to get there. God wants us to be involved in the here and the now, doing the things here and now. He's called you to do things now, not in the future. He's called you to be somebody now, not somewhere in the future. That's your ultimate goal. That's where you're going to get to. But right now, what are you doing in the meantime? How are you being involved? How are you using your gifts and talents? See, I wasted so much time that I got to a point where I was telling God, God, I can't get there from here. I couldn't get there from there. I knew where I was supposed to be, but there was this gigantic chasm in the middle. There was no way for me to get from here to there where I knew I was supposed to be. The only way that came about was through prayer and God's divine intervention in my life, helping me to get, because then I came to the realization, God, I need to get there because I need to be and do what you called me to do. Get me there. Here I am. Here I am. Living proof that you can get to where you're supposed to be. And I tell people who, when I've talked to people about this, about being a pastor and being a preacher, it's like, yeah, it's a tough job, but it's the toughest job I've ever had that I love. And believe me, you folks ain't easy to get along with sometimes. I told the pastor one time, we were joking around, and I told the pastor I was associate with, I told him, I looked at him, I said, you know what, this job would be great if it wasn't for people. He smiled, he goes, yeah, you're right. And there was somebody standing by who was brand new, she hadn't been a Christian that long, and she went, she didn't realize we were just kidding. You have a destiny. And you have a place where God is calling you to be. And you may not be there right now. But my friends, my brothers and sisters, you need to be working diligently to get to where God has called you to be. Put in the work. Put in the effort. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. As you renew your mind with the word of God, then you're going to know. If you don't know where you're supposed to be right now, you renew your mind with the word, and God, through his word and renewing of your mind, you will know where you're supposed to be, where you need to get to, and how you need to get there. Don't conform to the pattern of the world. The pattern of the world is to give up. The pattern of the world is to be lazy. Sorry, but it's true. Well, I don't want to. You even getting a college education today, there's an easy way to do it. You just buy your way through it. How many people do you know out there? You might not know, but there are millions of people out there. Maybe, I don't know how many, but there's a lot of people out there. A lot of people out there who bought their degree. They didn't do the work. They bought it. Oh, especially now with the internet, you can buy your papers online. Buy a paper, turn it in, you get credit for it. And you say that you did it. Oh, I graduated. Oh, look what I did. I graduated. You didn't do a stinking thing. Somebody else did your work for you. And now if you were to get into the job that supposedly suit your degree, you wouldn't have the first clue how to do the job. Because you don't know anything about it. So, do the work. We become a society that doesn't want to do the work. We become a society, we become a church that doesn't want to do the work. We don't want to do the work. We want God, oh God, bless me. Pour out on me, do it. But what are we doing to get it? What are we doing? I'm not talking about your salvation. But you're supposed to be doing work. And the work doesn't get you your salvation. The work doesn't get you to heaven. But the work that you do comes from an outpouring of love and is a result, a direct result of your love and your for Christ. You got to be working. Whether you want to or not, God's not going to bless us for being lazy. God's not going to pour out on us if we don't do anything. If we're not on our face before God asking him to pour out his blessing, pour out his spirit, he's not going to do it unless we ask. And we need to be asking at every opportunity. There's a destiny that you were called to fulfill. There's a place that you have that God has put you. God has put you in this place for a specific purpose. And it may be just for a while until he moves you to the next place to get you to your ultimate destiny. The ultimate destiny, the ultimate goal is obviously to get to heaven and to take as many people as we can with us. We got to stop praying, oh Lord, do this and do that. Oh Lord, fill this place with people and start getting off of the pews and getting off of our behinds and going out and bringing people in.
The scripture says Jesus gave the illustration and the story of the bridegroom, and they invited people and nobody showed up. So he said, go out into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in.
If you're having a church service, I just want you to know, would you be interested?
It's funny, but it's not. We have to work. There's a job for us to do. And we have to fulfill the destiny, the things that God has put in place. I don't want to miss those things. I don't want to be so lax and asleep that I miss the times and opportunities that God puts in my path. Because they don't happen just by happenstance. They happen by divinely ordained appointment. We were at Asia Garden last Sunday. We go there a lot. We go there so often that the wait staff knows us. We took somebody there. Oh, it was Karen Ming and her husband, Bill. We took them there when they were here. And when I walked in, my iced tea was already sitting on the table. That's just frequenting a place way too much. Well, we walked in. We went in last week and sat down. And the waitress came up, and her name is Betty. And she was talking really. She was having problems with her voice. She wasn't real sick, but she had, you know, issues with her voice. And she was telling me that she had it was from her part-time job, and she works at the post office part-time. She's trying to get on full-time, but the route, the guy that's on the route that she will get, he's not ready to retire yet. So in the meantime, she does it. So she had to work the day after Thanksgiving. Well, the day after Thanksgiving, if you remember, was raining. And she was doing her route with the window down. I mean, you can't deliver mail with the windows up. So it affected her. And so she tells us the story, and I looked at her and I said, can I pray for you? Yes, thank you. So I prayed for her. We go there, they know us, they know where I work. No, it's not because I wear my embroidered shirts either. It's they know. The lady who does the checkout, the hostess does the checkout, and she knows, and we've invited them here several times. If you frequent a place as much as that and they don't know where you go to church, you're not fulfilling the destiny that God has called you to. Because the destiny, one of the things, parts of your destiny that God has called you to, is to go into all the world and make disciples. Go and preach and teach and tell and make disciples. Let people know. Not just hold it in. You take those opportunities. That's a divinely appointed encounter. When that kind of thing is right there in front of you and you just sit there and go, what do I do? If you do nothing else, if you don't know anything else to do, you don't know what to say, just pray. Ask them if you can pray for them. Because that's the greatest thing you can do for them anyway. Is pray for them. You have a destiny. And your destiny isn't just to go through life just making it. Oh, I'm just getting by. We went to another place that we frequent often. And El Pollo Loco. We go in there during the week, and Michelle, she's behind the counter. She knows me. She knows us. We That's really sad, isn't it? We went in, and I have my phone out because I have the El Pollo Loco app, and I get my points. And that particular time, hey, I got $10 off my order. That tells you how often we go there. Have my phone out. Hi, Michelle, how you doing? Oh, I'm just barely getting by. Oh, well, sorry to hear that. And my wife says, well, it shouldn't be just barely getting by. She should be thriving. It needs to be thriving. So after we finished our meal, and we left, well, my wife says, I feel like I should pray for her, but she's busy. So we ended up leaving. We went across the street to Home Depot. After we finished in Home Depot, my wife says, go back. I've got to pray for her. So we drove back over to the Crazy Chicken. And my wife walked in and prayed for Michelle. And she said, Michelle had tears in her eyes because, thank you. My wife says, yeah, don't thank me, it's God. God was thinking about you. She said, and he wouldn't let me go without coming and praying for you. And she told her we were already across the street. And that's what being a believer in Christ is about. Do we always avail ourselves of the opportunities and take advantage of the opportunities? No, sometimes we miss them. And I've told you that, I've told you on several occasions when I've missed those things. But we should be getting better. The missed opportunities should be getting fewer and fewer. And the prayers and the witnessing should get more and more and more. We want this place full. We got to work at it. We got to work at it. Look around. Really, look around. I want you to look around. Who's not here that's normally here? Somebody that you normally would see here, but they're not here. I want you this week to call them or send them a text and let them know that we missed them. I do it, but you know, I don't do it to everyone, but as the Lord, you know, there's people that I know that are struggling, and so I send them a text and say, hey, you know, we missed you and hope to see you, hope everything's okay. And it's one thing to come from the pastor, because most people, well, that's the pastor's job. He's supposed to do that. But when it comes from you, makes a big impact. Because you're part of the body. They're part of the body. And when the body is missing, that's part of your destiny. Fulfill your destiny. Because it's the Holy Spirit that works in you both to will and to do whose? His. And what is his will? That none should perish and that all should come to repentance. That's your job. That's your job. That's your destiny. You have other things that God has destined you to do, and I want you to make sure that you are you position yourself to fulfill that destiny. It's like the man at the pool of Bethesda. You remember the story? But sir, I have no one to put me in the water. It's all about positioning.
Instead of being down right at the edge of the pool, ready to go when the angel troubled the water and to fall in, he was still up under the porch, Solomon's porch. You got to position yourself. If you want God's best and you want to fulfill your destiny, position yourself. He wasn't healed by that. He had to wait till actually Jesus came and healed him. If he had positioned himself before, he would have been healed long before he ever was. So position yourself to reach the destiny that God has placed in you. Let's all stand. I didn't even finish all of it. Because in Jeremiah 29:11, we all know this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." There's two aspects of this. We have to build the physical house of God. Which is the church. In Haggai 1:5-8, you read that on your own. You reading Haggai? And the other part of it is we're building up ourselves. Because you are the spiritual house of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? God's spirit dwells in you. 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it's He who will complete the work in you. He will complete and He will take you and get you to your divine destiny. Hebrews 12:2. Looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who's the author and perfecter of our faith. The first incentive for our belief in the one who brings our faith to maturity, who for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him and endured the cross, disregarding the shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing his deity, his authority, and the completion of his work. Jesus had a divine destiny, and he completed it, even though he knew what it was going to take. Because I am like Paul, who said in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion, the day of Christ Jesus. God came. You committed things to Christ. You committed your life to Christ. And now Christ is going to keep that. And it's our job to work in cooperation with the Holy Spirit.